At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes that feels a bit counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and today's show is brought to you once again in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. And because it also blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, it's great for travellers and pet lovers alike. Well, my guest today is very much a pet lover and someone who loves nothing more than getting out into nature, whether that's in the countryside around where she lives or in her garden. In fact, her garden has become even more of a focal point in her life as Karen Brines-McLean, a great friend of mine and the show, has let go of her shop called Health Food and More in Kirkcaldy here in Scotland and moved her medical herbalism practice to, you guessed it, her garden. She's had a beautiful garden room built as her consulting room and has recreated her dispensary so that she can focus purely on her herbalism at home. It really does feel like so many of us are pivoting, realigning, adjusting how we work right now. So I was eager to see this new setup for myself and drop by to talk to Karen, not just about the change to her practice, but also to pick her brains as ever about the plant power that we might benefit from as we move into spring. And then there was how did she cope with this extremely challenging move? Well, after showing me around, we sat down in the garden consulting room for a chat.
Karen, it's been a while since we've had you on the show, and it's great to have you back. Now, you have not been lazy in any way in the meantime. You've been moving your business, haven't you? And you're now the garden herbalist.
I am now the garden herbalist. I'm no longer Health Food and More. And yep, it has been an incredibly busy period of time.
Yeah.
I made a decision, probably it was in the autumn, that I was actually going to close the shop and transition across to a home-based practice. And that's not home base, it's home-based practice.
Yes.
So I decided to build a beautiful garden office at home, and I've moved my dispensary and my clinic practice. And as you can see, it's a really nice, quiet, peaceful consulting room.
Yeah, and we're sitting in it right now, and it's absolutely delightful.
Yeah. You hear the bird song, and we're in the garden, and you can see the rosemary at the door. In fact, I've plucked some rosemary and bought it in for us to
smells beautiful.
Have a little sniff of, so we can feel invigorated and awake, because it is that, well, we're after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's that sort of middle of the afternoon sort of lull. So, after a nice lunch of chanterelles and organic eggs on toast.
That was a very lovely lunch. And let's just say that the chanterelles, you actually picked those from your very secret spot that you won't tell me about.
Yeah,
my
secret
tell me
spot.
Where it is.
I think that was a good one. You walked through the gate, didn't you? I said, you're ready for lunch? It's chanterelles on toast today. So.
And I just went, oh, yeah.
So we're well nourished. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so we're in this lovely garden room space now, which feels much more authentic to me. It's not that I wasn't authentic before with what I was doing, but, you know, I was in a really busy retail environment. There was always a lot going on. And this just feels a bit slower and a bit more in touch with nature, which is what I think is right for herbal medicine. And I think it's right for me at this time of my life now, having, I'm actually transiting through menopause. It's actually brought me the opportunity to really reflect a lot about what I want moving ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so important. And I love the fact that you're just doing what you need to be doing for you at this time in your life. And it does feel great here. And I love that idea that it's more authentic. It is more authentic. Mm. And in case anybody's wondering, your garden is absolutely beautiful and is hugely productive throughout the year.
Yeah, it's a garden that feeds us, but it's also got lots of herb plants in it. There's trees in it. There's lots of birds come and visit the garden. Yeah. I've got a woodpecker that comes in regularly, and, you know, we've got finches and blue tits and robins and blackbirds. So it's a real busy garden with birds. And yeah, it's in its winter stage at the moment. So I think we've got a few little yellow narcissi, but there's usually something in flower somewhere in the garden through the year.
Yeah. And it always looks very, very good. You're excellent at keeping the place looking just really well kept and interesting, even though, you know, it might not be full of burgeoning vegetables and flowers and fruit at this time of year. But yeah, so we could see the rosemary out of the door. And rosemary's a really good herb for this time of year, isn't it? Let me have
a smell. Absolutely. I'll let you have a sniff. It is a really good herb to have in the middle of the afternoon. And if I'm ever in that sort of place, you know, it is that 3 o'clock lull that we can get, you know. Never do an after lunch talk because your audience is going to be sitting there dozing. Yeah. But yeah, if you're in that sort of like, oh, I just feel a bit dull, a drop of rosemary essential oil on a hanky, or just rub it in your hands and smell, will just really waken you up. And it is a really invigorating and enlivening herb. Rosemary, we know of rosemary for remembrance.
Yeah.
And rosemary does really help with memory and focus and concentration. It works on dopamine pathways in the brain. So I find it really a key herb in working with people with ADHD or ADD. But also it's a really good circulatory herb, so really good for people with problems like fibromyalgia as well. So it drives blood through the muscles and really gets the circulation moving a little bit. So fantastic herb. And of course, one that traditionally we've used for cooking, but actually I think it's just one of the you know, a really potent medicine.
I love rosemary. Yeah, I agree with you. And not just for this afternoon slump when we might just be still digesting our chanterelles and eggs on beautiful sourdough toast, but also at this time of year when we're just all feeling a bit sluggish.
It is that, we need the spring. We're beginning to see those signs, you know. The yellow ball was in the sky today. The sun was out and you could see it on people's faces. People were, you know, a bit brighter, feeling cheerier, but we are at the end of the winter now and we need to feel the sap rising and that spring energy. So it is the low energy point of the year. So rosemary is a really good energetic tonic to use. You could also use herbs like sage or thyme. They're really aromatic. They really enliven us and waken us up. But there are a number of other herbs in a toolkit that we could be using to really give yourself a little bit of a pep up.
Yes, and you say we can see spring coming, but I have to say this morning I had to scrape the ice off the car before I went for a swim because unexpectedly we've had a bit of a frosty spell, you know.
I found that quite nice though. It was, you know, we didn't have a dreary black sky and it wasn't wet. It was crisp and it clear was. And fresh, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was, yeah. There were a lot of people swimming this morning. A lot of people really out enjoying it. Might have only been 1 degree Celsius, but lots of people saw the sun and thought, no, great day for a swim.
Yeah. So it is around the corner. Yeah, we are still dragging our heels from the winter and it's been a really long, wet, dark winter it's felt like this year. Yeah.
It has, yeah. So what other herbs then? What else are we looking at this time of year? And you know, what's got you through? Because you've had such a busy time at this time of year when I suppose we really want to just be hibernating and you've been as busy as anything. What's got you through?
Well, sheer determination, I think, a lot of the time. So, yeah, you know, it was right through winter and I could feel that my body wanted to rest, but I knew I couldn't. And then, of course, typical, closed the shop. Within 2 days of shutting the shop, because that's what I had my line of sight on, I got the virus that's doing the rounds, the laryngitis bug that's going about, and, of course, couldn't rest. So it was like, how do I get myself through this? And I did feel quite stressed and pressured, I'll be quite honest. It was a major move, winding up a bigger business and condensing it and moving it to home. So the first thing I really focused on was exercising regularly and getting the dog out for a walk and getting out in nature, because it just would help me keep my head clear. And then eating well was the next thing. I thought, even though I feel a bit tired and a bit stressed, I'm really going to focus on making sure I eat properly, because that's the first thing that tends to go. We're under stress, we're under pressure, our diets slip. And I sort of thought, no, keep eating properly. I think if you can fuel properly, get some exercise and get some rest in. So get those sort of foundations in. And then herb-wise, well, it will come as no surprise. The cordyceps in there, my usual mushrooms in there to try and give me a little bit of a boost. But I actually used I used a supplement that had lots of L-theanine in it, because, you know, like most people, when you're under a little bit of pressure, what happens? Sleep goes.
Yeah.
And I could feel that my sleep was starting to edge. And I thought, no, if I can actually sleep properly, then I'll be able to cope much better. So I used a supplement that had 200 milligrams of L-theanine, because L-theanine, it does help upregulate dopamine. It also helps upregulate GABA and keeps you nice and calm. So that was my go-to, along with some adaptogenic herbs. So we had some rhodiola in that mix, some ashwagandha in that mix, some B vitamins in there as well. And I was also using a herb called goticola. I don't know if you have come across goticola at all.
I have, yes. I've actually used it in the past as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very useful adaptogen, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a great adaptogen. And, you know, I think it gives you a lot of really good physical stamina. It supports the adrenal glands. And it gives really good mental stamina as well. And I always feel that when I've had goticola, it's a bit like somebody's cleaned my windows, and it's just my mind feels much, much clearer, which, of course, I was needing, because I was spinning all these plates with the move. So it really helped me sort of stay sharp and focused through it all.
Yeah. In fact, I was just saying to you before we started recording that I started taking some MCT oil daily, C8 and C10 blend. And I felt exactly the same as you just then. I felt like somebody cleaned my windows. It's almost like it brought, it was oiling the cogs in my brain. I could actually feel the difference when I started taking it. So it's really interesting how you can just switch these things around, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Another herb that I started to use was skullcap. And I tend to go with skullcap when my head won't switch off. So I was finding that I was busy during the day. And then I was finding it really hard to switch my head off at night. And skullcap is really good for helping you switch down an overactive mind. There's two different types of skullcap. There's Chinese skullcap, which you'll find if you're looking for herbs. And there's also the Scutellaria lateriflora. I don't know what its common name would be. I just have always known it as skullcap.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but sort of European skullcap. Yeah. And it's the European skullcap, I think, that's really good for just helping to quieten that head down. I think it's really good for a nervous fatigue. And I think that's something that people do feel a lot. It's not just a bit of physical fatigue at this time of year. There's a real nervous depletion going on. We just need to look at what's going on in the world. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're 2 years since we went into Ukraine, we're looking at 4 years since the pandemic, we're looking at what's going on in Israel. We're just surrounded by all this stuff that's happening. And I think it's exhausting everybody, to be honest. So
yeah, I find that a lot. You talk to people, they say they're exhausted, they can't believe what's going on in the world. And that really does affect us all.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a very deep level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. We do need that boost. We do need that energetic boost.
Yeah, so skullcap's a lovely one. And oats is the only thing I can't eat. It just wrecks my stomach. I get terrible heartburn and indigestion.
I love a bit of porridge. Love a bit of porridge.
They're too heating for me. And I think, well, you know, I'm half horse. I'm a Sagittarian. I sort of think, is that what it is? But yeah, they just give me terrible indigestion. So wow. I cannot take oats. And I wish I could, because, you know, both eating oats is really good for the nervous system. But you can use green oat extract, which is basically the whole plant, and oats are a fantastic sustaining nervous system tonic. So that would have been a number one for me to be using through this period, but I just do not want to take oats on a regular basis, whether it's a tincture or an oat cake or a porridge. So unfortunately, not one that I could lean to, but one that some of the listeners might be able to turn to quite readily.
And you call yourself a Scotswoman. I mean, for heaven's sake, you know. But we obviously got it right, didn't we? Porridge, when we're living in Scotland, we don't always have the best weather. We can, you know, it can be very tiring, but we would start the day with porridge.
Yeah. So porridge is, and it's that slow-release carbohydrate, which really helps to fuel you over a long period of time. So, what I do instead of having porridge is I'll have a really good sourdough toast, or what I tend to lean to if I want a really good protein fix is lots of seeds. So one of my favourites is things like flax seeds and pumpkin seeds and maybe some macadamias and some dried fruit and some berries and some yogurt. And what I'll do is end up with about 10 or 15 different vegetables and, well, not vegetables, but plant-based sources through my diet for breakfast. And that's a really good start to the day. So I was often doing that through this period of time because it's easily digested and quite quick to eat. I have to say, I've not been spending time sitting down digesting my food particularly well, but that was my start. It's always start the day really well as well, and that helps to sustain things.
Yeah, you see, I don't eat breakfast in the morning. I don't tend to eat until lunchtime, but I kind of, that's part of my kind of intermittent fasting thing, and I find that works for me. So I mean, everybody's a bit different. Mm. So some people might not need that in the morning, but then again, I think if you're going out to work and you're doing something that you really need your energy for, maybe it is good to start off that way. I don't know.
Well, we'll hear what Karen has to say about that in a moment, but first it's time for a short break. We'll be back for more from The Garden Herbalist right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, medical herbalist Karen Brines-McLean, now working as the garden herbalist from her very lovely backyard. We were talking about breakfasts before the break. Who does and doesn't benefit from a morning refuel? Here's Karen again.
I do hair mineral analysis as part of my clinical workup sometimes. And when I've done the hair mineral analysis, I find it hard to say that actually. when I've done that for myself, I come up as a slow metabolizer.
Okay.
I think if you did hair mineral analysis, you would come up fast.
Yeah.
And slow metabolizers can have a bit of a predisposition to having a little bit of low blood sugar. Mm. And if I didn't have breakfast and I went out there and started to get on with things, I would get wibbly wobbly. So I cannot do without my breakfast. That's a really important meal for me. My husband, who I know is a fast metabolizer on that hair test, could skip breakfast quite happily.
Yeah.
My daughter can skip breakfast quite happily. I think she's a fast metabolizer, and I think you are as well. Yeah. Now, you're quite high histamine, and I think fast metabolizers quite high histamine. So that's where the difference would be, that you have a very different sort of underlying metabolic typing to me. So yeah, I have to have breakfast. I usually have a mid-morning snack, have lunch, have a mid-afternoon snack, have my dinner. So I'm a regular eater, and I really notice it if I don't. Yeah,
See, it's so interesting, isn't it? But it makes sense when you talk about metabolism, fast and slow metabolisms, I've always had a fast metabolism.
Yeah. It's interesting because when Donald and I did the hair, we did the hair test years ago before we had Molly. We did it as a preconceptual
Molly's
care
daughter,
thing.
Yeah.
And you would have thought, looking at Donald and I, that I was going to be fast and he was going to be slow. I'm not fast because of my build particularly, but because of how I am. You know, I'm a really busy, buzzy sort of person, and Donald's really relaxed. And then when we got the hair test reports, it was like, oh right, okay, that's not what I expected. You know, he eats, he has to rest, I eat, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready, you know, it fuels me. I feel, you know, that instant energy. Donald really needs to take his time digesting. So that's what made me think I'm fast, he's slow. No, it's the very opposite. And that's maybe, you know, that's what I think, you know, we probably need to look individually at these things, because there is lots of information out there, you know, intermittent fasting. Yeah, it's great, but actually maybe it's not for everybody.
Right.
I think we have to work out what our own individual sort of typing is and work out what works for us.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think if you can do intermittent fasting, it's really great. I do very well on it. I'm very happy, you know, doing that. Although recently I've kind of gone off, not off the wagon a bit, but I've found myself just having a little bite of something, you know, later in the evening than I would normally do. Because normally I stop eating about 7 o'clock latest at night, and then I won't eat again until 11 in the morning, midday. So that works for me, you know. But even just, you know, having a little mouthful of something, just as a, it's not so much that I'm hungry, it's just that I feel that I just want to, it's an emotional thing, you know, just want a little something, a comfort something.
Is it sweet or savoury?
Good question, savoury.
Yeah.
I'm not really a sweet person.
Yeah. I think you're very sweet, JJ.
But we were talking before we started recording. Again, we were talking before we started recording, and I said, you know, I'm not really into sugar, except, I said, I don't have anything totally against sugar. I'm not totally against sugar, because I did have a Cadbury's cream egg yesterday, and you burst out laughing. But I like my sugar. I like to know when I'm eating sugar.
Yeah.
I like to decide, okay, I'm going to, you know, fall off the wagon and have a cream egg or a, you know, a bit of chocolate. I don't really go for sweet things in a great way.
So the saltiness could be adrenals. You know, you could be sort of thinking, yeah, we're just, Carly's in the room with us. Carly's my cockapoo.
Yep, she
and
is.
She's just
and she's just
up.
Woken
she's,
up. Yeah.
She's yawning and wagging her tail. Yeah.
She thinks she's going to go out for a walk.
Maybe you go for a little walk afterwards.
Yeah.
Salt. Salt is adrenals, you know, your adrenal glands retain sodium and potassium in your body.
And that would make sense as well, because also, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, if you're under a certain amount of stress, then it can affect your adrenals.
Yeah, of course it can. Yeah. So your adrenals are adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol, and regulating sodium and potassium. And so some people, when their adrenals are a little bit below par, will be looking for a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've heard people using things like Himalayan pink salt as an adrenal tonic. So actually taking it to try and support their adrenal health a little bit. I mean, I think there's lots of other ways to support your adrenals, and gotu-kola is one of the herbs that we could use. Licorice is great for the adrenals, and actually licorice would cause you to retain a little bit more sodium, hence the potential of increasing blood pressure, which I have to say my years of practice doesn't really tend to happen very often with licorice. And then you've got all your other adaptogens, your cordyceps and your Siberian ginsengs and your Korean ginsengs, etc. So, you know, probably this time of year, we should be thinking about some adaptogens. In fact, we should probably all take adaptogens all the time, to be honest.
We always talk about adaptogens.
We do. We always come back to them, don't we? But actually, we should always come back to the adrenals, because they're so important. They're part of our sort of key survival. And our whole hormonal system is about our survival, you know, whether it's metabolic survival, reproductive survival, that immediate sort of fight or flight, getting us out of the way of danger. So, you know, our adrenal glands are a big part of that hormonal system, and they do, you know, they are easily affected by what goes on in our lives. Yeah.
Yes, and I think we tend to forget about that. But, you know, especially at this time of year, so we're coming out of winter, we're coming into spring, and we do need a little bit of a lot of us, a lot of people do need a little bit of a, you know, sort of a tonic.
And I think it is, you know, think adrenals now, you know, what you would normally see is, you know, in the health magazines and articles and things, you get through Christmas and then you do detox. Well, that's wrong. That is absolute nonsense. You do not want to detox in January. You want to detox in the spring when the green plants are out. So get your adrenals prepared for that, because actually, in order to detoxify, you actually need really good adrenal energy. It takes energy to actually go through that process. So, yeah, some nice adaptogens at the moment. And then when the plants start to come through and the sap starts to rise, then you want to get out there and get onto some of that green stuff and, you know, give yourself a bit of a detox. And, you know, having worked and owned a health food shop for a long time, I can tell you that's exactly what happens. We would never sell detox remedies in January. Everyone would start coming in for detox remedies around about March and April when they had a little bit more energy to do it. You know, you can't be doing detox when it's cold outside. You're meant to be resting and eating and nourishing yourself.
Yeah, you don't want to be depleting your energy.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the other things then that we should be looking to do right now to just prepare us for a little bit more of the springtime, you know, sap rising? What are the things that we should be looking for? I mean, I went out foraging. Well, I didn't actually go foraging the other day. I went out to have a look at my local wild garlic foraging spots the other day, and it's not quite up yet. But as soon as that grows another week or two, I'll be down there and I'll be picking some wild garlic.
And get harvesting that because, you know, we've just come through all the winter viruses.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the spring colds coming in. So it's a good idea to get some wild garlic and these antiseptic things on board because we are going to be out there probably circulating a little bit more in the springtime. So wild garlic would give you a really good immune boost. The other one to watch out for is cleavers because cleavers will, of course, support flushing of the lymphatic system, and nettle. And nettle is a fantastic tonic. Now, nettle seed you can use as a really good adaptogen for the adrenals, but nettle leaf, really lovely spring tonics, full of minerals, really good for your skin and your hair and your nails. And so those nettles will be starting to peek through reasonably soon, just at the back of wild garlic. So
yeah, they will.
I'd encourage people to get out and get some nettles into them, and it builds really good blood. It's, you know, good for anemia, low iron stores, etc. So, yeah, really good pick-me-up.
Yeah, and watch out for them coming through because when they're young, that's the time to pick them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're really tasty, you know. So you can pick them, make them into herbal teas, make them into soups, etc. Yeah, just don't eat them raw. You know, it's the one that you don't want to have raw. I have given people nettle soup before and they've sort of said, oh, it tastes a bit prickly. And it's like, no, once it's cooked... No. You're not going to have any prickles there, but it is a really nice
That's auto suggestion. Absolutely, it doesn't taste prickly when you cook it, but it does. It tastes spinachy.
Yeah, I always describe it as gamey spinach. It's got that wild, a sort of wild spinach taste.
Yeah.
What it doesn't do though, I don't know how you find spinach. I always feel if I have a lot of spinach, I always find it's a bit astringent. My mouth is really dry afterwards.
I love spinach though. I do really adore it. But yes, I do know what you mean
about
that.
Yeah, it can be a bit drying. And of course, spinach has got quite a lot of acid in it as well, whereas nettle will actually get rid of acid out of your body. Yeah. And, you know, we in the winter, we tend to drink less fluids. You know, our kidneys just aren't working as efficiently through the winter months. So come the springtime, if you get things like nettles and cleavers on board, get those kidneys activated. And, you know, that really helps with energy as well. In Chinese medicine, they talk about all your energy coming from your kidney.
Yeah.
I think that probably refers partly to the adrenals, but also your kidneys are involved in your acid and alkali balance in the body. So making sure your kidneys are tip top should give you lots of good energy as well.
Something that I've always been aware of, I used to have a regular shiatsu. I haven't had one for a while. In fact, I'm going to book one very soon because I feel that would be a good way of getting myself prepped as well for you know, coming into the spring. But there would always be, you know, some work to be done on the energy lines that deal with your adrenals in my body. So it's always something that had to be rebalanced constantly with me.
It's down the back of the legs, isn't it? The kidney meridian, Does it go down your legs?
I can't remember which one it is, but I always remember, oh yeah, your adrenals are down. Okay, yeah, right, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have a regular shiatsu about every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and
I do.
I used to, you do get really tuned into it when you're doing it regularly. Mm. And I used to know which meridians were off before I went to see the shiatsu practitioner. Yeah. I could feel it in my body. I just haven't found anyone just on my doorstep here that I could have shiatsu with regularly that I've really clicked with. So I'll maybe get a recommendation from you, JJ.
I'll let you know when I've been to this person that I have in mind. Yeah. And you know, maybe that will be somebody for you. But, things like that are really good. Massage is really good as well.
Yeah.
Just moving, shifting stuff.
Absolutely. I normally have a massage once a month. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, well, massage if you're active. Actually, massage if you're inactive. And that's one of the things that I found when I was working in the shop, when I'm in clinic, I'm sitting down a lot. It's sedentary when I'm actually at my desk doing consultations. And, you know, you saw my desk. I had a beautiful old oak desk, but I would, because of the small gap, I would often sit twisted and my right shoulder would get jammed up.
Yeah.
And so I'd go once a month, get my shoulder ironed out and off I'd go again. You can see my setup's very different here, JJ.
It is.
We've got comfy chairs. I don't need to sit scrunched about a desk.
It's very it's very lovely here. I must say that you've done a really good job at creating a beautiful, welcoming space. What a lovely place to come and, you know, get the benefits of all the advice and herbs that you can dispense here. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And it feels really nice. It feels, I mean, I have to say that, you know, we shut the doors at Health Food Moor on the 27th of January. And I reopened here 2 weeks later. And it has, you know, it has been fairly fraught at times, getting all the administration and all of that stuff in place. But see, working in this consulting room, whenever I'm out here, it just feels so calm and so peaceful. The actual consulting part of it has been absolutely fantastic. It's just all the dealing with all the messages coming in and my landline not having not been transferred at the moment, which has been a bit of a pain.
All that will be all teething stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, just think about it energetically as well. You know, you're here in the middle of all this growth, all these things that are growing that are so good for us. You are in a very calming space. Where you were before was on the main road in the middle of a city.
With sirens going by and phones ringing and doors banging and people coming in.
Yeah.
It was constant interruption. Yeah.
Completely different energy here, which is great, I think. And I think people will be flocking here when they realise what it's like to come here. It's not like you're, you know, really on a main commuter road or anything like that, but you're not, you know, you're not so out of the way.
We're not total out in sticks here. No, although 10 minutes from home, we're in the woods, there's the wild garlic, etc. So, you know, nature's on the doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think it was a great move for you. And I love the way that you talk about it being more authentic. It is more authentic. You can feel it.
Yeah. I feel more authentic here. And I think my clients feel that as well. And it's just been really nice. I've got a little bit longer with people. Mm. My overheads have reduced. I can give longer time and it just feels so much less rushed. And I think people are really appreciating that time. I certainly am. It's all in all a very positive move.
Yes, I think so. And I think a lot of people are doing similar in different areas, you know, but a lot of people, I think, are beginning to realise, actually, this doesn't work for me any longer.
Yeah, I think we're having to shake some things off.
Yeah.
I think it's partly the pandemic, this cost of living crisis, and a lot of people are sitting back and thinking, what do I want? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was it for me. For me, it was the menopause. It was I'm now 56. I turned 50. I started to think about what do I want from the second half of my life. And then last year, my daughter left home and went off to uni. And I began to think, what is it that I want? I've been so busy thinking about everybody else for so long. What do I need for me as well in all of this? You can, you know, and I think that's really important.
I think,
you know, it's not about being selfish. It's about being self-first, looking after my own needs as well, because I am really fit and well, but I want to stay fit and well. And I know that actually working so intensely as I have been for, you know, the past 20 odd years as a herbalist isn't sustainable. I can't keep working at that pace for the next 20 odd years. I'd love to still be working for another 25 years as a herbalist. I've got all that knowledge. I need to do it at a slightly different pace moving forward.
Yeah, and in a different environment. I think this is much more in keeping with what you do now. So, I think it's a fantastic move. And so we've said that you're no longer Health Food and More. So tell us where people can find out more about you and where they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so now it's www.thegardenherbalist.co.uk.
Fabulous. And so do you do online consultations as well now, or are you just doing them here?
No, I do Zoom consultations too, so face-to-face, and I do video link Zoom consults as well,
And you'll send out, because you dispense herbs as well.
Yeah, dispense medicines, and I can post it out. I don't post beyond the UK, just because the whole Brexit thing has just, it's a palaver. I don't want to be posting medicines to Spain or anything. So no, I can just post anywhere in the UK and, get the medicines out to people within a day or two.
But then if somebody was in Spain and they wanted a consultation, you could tell them what to get.
Yeah. They could go and buy it. I have had people consulting me from France before during the pandemic. I had that was my furthest consultation, I think, was in France. So, yeah. And well, would that have been? I can't remember when Brexit took place. Was Brexit before lockdown or after?
Some of us have just erased it from our minds.
It's all a bit of a blur. You know, particularly in Europe, there's lots of places where you can buy herbs. You know, pharmacies tend to sell herbs.
Yeah, I was going to say, and actually in France, if you go into any pharmacy in France, there's a whole load of herbal stuff there,
which
is fantastic. I always love that about French pharmacies.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Karen. It's been lovely to see you're now finished. I saw this place when it was half built, but it's lovely to see it finished and working. It's such a great space. So well done. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, JJ.
Karen Brines McLean there, the garden herbalist, dispensing some great information as always. We mentioned wild garlic there, and it loves unspoiled woodland and roadside verges. So do gather some if you can find a patch near you. But remember to do so ethically. You can read more about it on my blog at thepracticalalchemist.uk. Now, you can use it fresh, freeze it, or preserve it by fermenting it so that you can benefit from it way past spring. You can even pickle the flower buds, something I tried a couple of years ago, only with average success, I must admit. Other people's pickled buds taste much better than mine ever did, and I'm sure yours would too. Right now, though, it's time for another break. I'll be back right after these messages with more, so stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're still listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. Now, we just heard from the garden herbalist, but are you one of those people for whom the garden brings nothing but misery, thanks to pollen allergies or hay fever? Or maybe you have a pet allergy? Then you might want to try Nasal Guard. It's easy to use, and it's a water-based gel, totally discreet, as well as being drug-free. And it was invented for people just like you. Ashok Vahi is the man who developed it and brought Nasal Guard to market. Here he is to tell us about his product's backstory.
I'm an inventor and a scientist. I have a Master of Science from NYU. I'm an engineer, mechanical from a university called Thapar University from India, Punjab, Patiala. And having said that, my older daughter, Ekta Vahi, used to suffer from cat allergies. And when she was very young, she was, to the best of my knowledge, no more than 8 years old. She has, in our neighborhood, they were her friends, and they used to exchange each other's residence to play and home to play or sleepovers. And two friends, one particularly nearby, had a cat as a pet at the home. And she, my daughter Ekta, just couldn't visit that home because my daughter was so severely allergic to cat. And she has been a great student and all her life. And like any other parent, you try to bring some over-the-counter medicine and give it to her. The medicine worked okay, but it had side effects. She started to feel drowsy in the classroom, and it started to show when you are drowsy, you can't study and you can't take part in the same way. And I thought, as a father, I have to resolve this problem. And I started to see, how can I intervene without giving her, or do something without giving her a outside drug product, which will not. So that was my inspiration to create a product. And when I started to search technologies, There were filters available for the nose even at that time. I'm talking about early 1990s, 1991, 92. And the challenge became that I found filters which people had to insert in nose. They didn't look pretty at all. It was like a filter at the butt of the cigarette, like a filter cigarette.
Yeah, nobody
and
wants that.
That doesn't look pretty and it doesn't work right. And so I said it has to be invisible as to work. And safety was a great aspect. Never do I point out that my motivation was not to create a product for sake of money or business. I was trying to solve my own daughter's problem. And one thing led to the other. It came very clear to me that I have to create a water-based type of product around the nose, which will stop. And then I started to dig particle science and at the library of Princeton University early on. And I came across that there are some naturally created waxes like bee wax and all that. But that was also a wax, like a heavier product, not water-based. That research led to me cationic quaternary agents. And I wanted to create a cationic lotion strong enough to catch airborne particles, and experimenting took it. It's a message to your entrepreneurial mind people. Try again till you succeed. I'm going to be honest that first 82 trials of the formulation,
82, 82,
8 plus 2, worked for a short time, didn't work at all, or worked not in the right way, all that. And I didn't lose hope. I still kept trying.
How many years did you try? How many years were you working?
It took me 2.5 years because one experiment takes about 10 to anywhere between 6 to 12 variations.
Yeah.
Because you identify an ingredient before you rule it out, you try different formulations or compositions of that. So it took quite a bit of time to get to the first product. And many issues came that it was smelly. The ingredient was a very bad smell. It didn't stick properly, or it was visible. So my daughter was helping me tell me, oh, it worked, but I don't like the stickiness of it. Even if it was water-based, that, some of the bottom line or summary is that it took a lot of trials to produce the first one. And then I did the patent search. There was no technology like that. Fortunately, there's no other technology like that even today, because I've been constantly innovating what I've done in higher domains. And so the phase one of the story is my daughter was the inspiration to create a product. And the first patent and the first formulation, I think, was granted in 1994 for nasal guard under electrostatically charged cationic product for nasal application. And that led to the evolvement of the product till 2019, like from 1990s to that, when I got other two patents for microfiltration. Such polymers were non-existent at that time, totally.
Ashok Vahi there, and this show was brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. So it's perfect for travellers and allergy sufferers alike. You can try out Nasal Guard for yourself. Just head over to the UK Health Radio homepage at ukhealthradio.com and follow the link there. And that's just about all I have time for you today. Remember to check out my website and blog at thepracticalalchemist.uk. And if you register at the site, you'll get all my latest views and news right into your inbox. You'll also find some audio tracks there that'll help you if you're stressed or suffering from anxiety. They won't cost you anything, and they could be useful, along with all the suggestions from Karen Brines-McLean earlier in the show. You can also check out my other website, safehavenhealing.uk, to find out all about energy clearing. Remember to follow me on Facebook and Instagram as The Practical Alchemist, and that's another way to keep up with everything I'm doing. Also, make sure you check out Health Triangle magazine for some great health information. It's packed with features and news from all your favourite UK Health Radio presenters and contributors. You'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage too. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you'll join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.